భగవద్గీత చాప్టర్ 10 విభూతి యోగ శ్లోక 33.
అక్షరాణామకారోస్మి ద్వంద్వసామాసికస్య చ అహమేవాక్షయ కాలః ధాతాహం విశ్వతో ముఖః.
అక్షరాణాం అకారోస్మి. అమంగ్ ది ఆల్ఫబెట్స్ the letters, I am the first letter, the akara, a. And the superiority of the letter akara is very much emphasized in the Vedas all the time. And the first glory of this letter, it is the first and the foremost letter. In Mandukya Upanishad, it is said, aptehe adimatvatva. ఆదిమత్, ఆదిమత్ మీన్స్ ఇట్ ఈస్ ద ఫస్ట్ అండ్ ఫోర్ మోస్ట్ జ్యేష్ఠ పుత్ర ఆదిమత్. అండ్ అకార అకర ముదల ఎళుతెల్లాం ఆది భగవన్ ముదట్రే ఉలగు, దట్ ఈస్ తిరుకురళ్. సో అకరం, అకరం ఈస్ దిస్ అకారం, అకారం. అండ్ ది సెకండ్ గ్లోరీ ఈస్ అకార అలోన్ ఈస్ ద లెటర్ అపియరింగ్ యాజ్ ఆల్ అదర్ లెటర్స్. దట్ ఈస్ మోస్ట్ ఇంపార్టెంట్. ఆల్ అదర్ లెటర్స్ ఆర్ ఓన్లీ మాడిఫైడ్ ఫార్మ్ ఆఫ్ అకార. It is like the upadana karana, the material cause, like gold, like clay, like wood. So it is the material cause. And if you analyze it, if you are allowing the sound to pass through the mouth without making any change in your mouth, then the sound that comes out is a. But when you make e, u and all those kinds of sounds, the akara continues to be the same. But only the mouth, you make certain modifications to the mouth to produce those sounds. If you show the teeth and show again akara, then it will become e. So because it is the same wind coming through the mouth in a particular formation. So this sthana and prayatna, both are important. The air passes through the particular sthanam of the mouth. Sthana means the location. Then the same akara becomes other letters. So akara only is the only letter. All other letters are only modification of akara. And when you spout your mouth, different letters, they come. But all akara alone, that is the basic letter. And so Veda says, akaro vai sarva vak. That is what Veda says. Akara alone is all words. Sarva vak. All letters. And according to Shastra, akara is prescribed actually over Brahma, the creator. It is presided over by Brahma. Akara is the letter presided by none other than the creator himself, Brahmaji. Because Brahma alone created everything and akara creates every sound. So alphabetical sound means here all the alphabetical letters. And so akara is supposed to be the greatest. So aksharanam akaraha asmi. Then dvandvaha samasikasya cha dvandvaha. Among various compounds, compound words, I am the dvandva samasa. So here we have to understand a little bit of Sanskrit grammar. So in Sanskrit, two words are joined together and we call it a compound word. That is a specific name called samasaha. So a compound word which is made up of two or more words. So it's called a samasa. It is there in all languages also. For example, if we take a simple word like headache. What is the meaning of the word headache? Ache in the head. That's what we mean. So that preposition in is omitted. When you make a compound word of head and ache, the preposition head, ache in the head. So that is removed. So it's called headache. So by forming compounds, one can avoid such things as prepositions. Bird food, animal food, food for the animal, it is called animal food. So all these things are all samasas. And we will coin also fresh compounds. For example, if there is water shortage here and only once in a week water is brought out, then we call that this as water day. For example, tomorrow in our township, we have the garbage pickup on Fridays. So we call it garbage day tomorrow. So these are all words which we coin ourselves to a day in which garbage pickup takes up. So in Sanskrit, it is done so systematically as a scientific way. So we have so many varieties of compounds in Sanskrit. For example,
If you say yellow cloth is pita ambaram. Pita, yellow, pita ambaram is yellow cloth. And this can refer to an yellow cloth, and it also can refer to the person wearing the yellow cloth. So both can be meant. So yellow cloth, pita ambaram, could be either the yellow cloth itself or the person wearing the yellow cloth. For example, Krishna. Krishna is always referred to as what? Pitambaram, Padmanabham, Padmaksham, Purushottamam, all those words for Krishna. So Pitambaraha is called Krishna himself. It is not yellow cloth there. It is Krishna himself, the one who wears it. So when Pitambara refers to the cloth, then we call it in Sanskrit Tatpurusha Samasaha. So when Pitambaram refers to the cloth, it is called Tatpurusha Samasa. And when it refers to Krishna himself, we call it Bahuvrihi Samasa. So Tatpurusha Samasa and Bahuvrihi Samasa, a word indicating somebody else, not the cloth itself. Suppose, for example, I say Mahabuddhihi, a person with a great intellect, Mahabuddhihi. It can refer to the great intellect, Mahabuddhi itself, or the person who has got great intellect. So we can have Tatpurusha Samasa indicating the same thing, or Bahuvrihi Samasa indicating something else. Both are possible in Sanskrit. And there is another Samasa called Dvandva Samasa. That is what is referred in this sloka. So Dvandva Samasa, and that alone Krishna is referring here as Dvandva Samasa. That means a compound in which every word is equally important. So when you join so many words, each word becomes as much important as the other word. So that is called Dvandva Samasa. For example, we say Dasharatha Putraha. That's the word Dasharatha Putraha. This is supposed to be a Tatpurusha Samasa because it is referring to whom? Referring to the son of Dasharatha. So Dasharatha Putraha. Now, once you form the compound, then on, the compound word refers to whom? Rama alone. Dasharatha Putraha, Rama. Or Lakshmana, whatever it is, only one of them. So even though the word Dasharatha is used, the compound word will refer to only Rama or Lakshmana or any of those children. So Dasharatha Putra alone. So even though the word Dasharatha is used, the compound refers only to the son. Suppose we say Viraha Dasharatha Putraha. If you say a usage like that, heroic Dasharatha Putra. Viraha means heroic. So now this Viraha, this adjective, goes to what? It doesn't go to Dasharatha, it goes to Dasharatha Putra only. So Viraha Dasharatha Putraha goes only to Dasharatha Putra. So once you have formed a compound, Dasharatha cannot take that adjective. So when you form the compound with Dasharatha, that adjective cannot qualify that Dasharatha. So if you say aged Dasharatha Putra, again it does not mean Dasharatha is aged, it means Dasharatha's son is aged. And when you say Dasharatha Putra has come, Dasharatha may be there, only son Rama or Lakshmana only has come. And in this Dasharatha Putra compound, the emphasis is on the Putra. Dasharatha is only hanging there. He does not have any importance at all in this usage. It is only Upasarjanaha, secondary. That's what it means. So Uttarapadam is the Pradhanam. Uttarapadam, namely Putraha, is only Pradhanam. Whereas when I say Rama Lakshmanau Dhirau or Virau, if I make a sentence like that word, I form another compound, Rama Lakshmanau. Rama and Lakshmana, it is dual. That's why we make it Rama Lakshmanau. So Rama and Lakshmana, and if you join these two words together and form a compound, it is called Dvandva Samasa. It's called Dvandva Samasa. And once you form a Dvandva Samasa, both the words are equally important. That is the difference between this and the other two samasas. And when you say Virav Rama Lakshmanav, the Viratvam, that goes to both Rama and Lakshmana. Viratvam. So if I say Virav Dasharatha Putrav, then the Virav will go to Putrav only and not to Dasharatha. The two sons of Dasharatha only it will go, but it will not go to Dasharatha. So the first compound is called Tatpurusha, where the emphasis is on Putra, whereas the second compound is called Dvandva, where the emphasis goes for both. Any adjective that you add, it pervades every member of the compound word. That is Dvandva Samasa. Suppose if I say Viraha Dasharatha Putraha, if I make a compound word like that, Viraha Dasharatha Putraha, then also means all sons of Dasharathas are Viras. They are all very valorous people. So adjective will not go to Dasharatha, but will go only to the sons of Dasharatha. Suppose if I say Viraha Rama Lakshmana Bharataha, then Veera Ramaha, Veera Lakshmanaha, Veera Bharataha, it qualifies for each one of these, the people who made the compound word. So the adjective will go to every member of the samasa. So if such a compound is formed, that is called Dvandva Samasa. So Dvandva is supposed to be superior here, and so Krishna says, I am Dvandva. In Sanskrit, many compounds are there actually. There are so many samasas. First they divide into 4, then to 7, and then 28 varieties. There are so many varieties of samasas. And it is all a full-fledged, very huge topic, a big, very systematic science actually. In English and all other language, we can form a compound with 2 or 3, 4 words maximum mostly. Whereas in Sanskrit, a compound can be formed maybe 1 mile long word. Just now we finished the Dakshinamurti Stotram, where we said Mauna Vyakya Prakatita Paraprahma Tattvam. This entire thing is one word. So this is one samasa. So we can have all types of compound words in Sanskrit, and in a long compound word, the first two can be one type, the next two can be another type. All those variations are all possible in Sanskrit. So in a long word, there can be all compounds possible. So it is a very, very, very well developed science. So that is what Krishna says in his Dvandva Samasa. And then Ahameva Akshayaha Kalaha. Akshayaha Kalaha. I am the inexhaustible time. Kalaha. The time exhausts everything else, actually. If you really look into time, it exhausts everything else, but the time itself never gets exhausted. That is why someone said, we always, you know, what we do? We always talk of passing time. We want to pass time, whereas what is happening is, time is passing away. We think we are passing time, but time is passing away. Kalo na yadaha vayameva yadaha. That's what it says. The time does not pass away at all, though we only pass. We only pass. Time never passes. Time was during Shankaracharya's time. It was there much earlier also. As long as the creation is, time will be there. The only one who can swallow time is whom? Is Atma alone. Atma alone can swallow time, whereas time, it will always pass away. But otherwise, it is inexhaustible. As long as creation is there, the time concept will also remain. So, Akshayaha, it means the inexhaustible time, I am. Then, Aham Data. Data means Karmapala Data. Data here refers to the Karmapala Data, the one who dispenses all the karma palam to the respective kartas. Whomsoever does engage in whatever action, the corresponding palam is dispensed to that person only. So, Punya Kartrunam Sukham. All those who did Punyam, they get Sukham. Papa Kartrunam Dukham. Mishra Kartrunam Sukha Dukham. So all those people who did papa karmas, they get papam, dukkam they get. And mishra kartrunam, the one who does both punyam and papam, they get sukham and dukkam. So the Lord dispenses according to one's own karma, the actual palam. All perfectly according to the laws of karma, that will be dispensed by the Lord. That is why we should never doubt perhaps the computer of the Lord. Because whether there could be some error somewhere, no. Sometimes we find people suffer and evil people prosper. Noble people suffer in life, we see that. And evil people, they prosper, we see all of them. And suddenly the doubt may come to us whether Lord's computer also makes mistakes. How this noble person can suffer? We ask those questions. Remember, there is no mistake at all. Their old punya fructifying now, even presently he may be a papi. Whatever punya he did earlier, that is what is fructifying now to give him that sukham. For their papas, they are going to reap that result sometime later perhaps. But it is the old punya that gives them a good present now. That is why when Hiranyakashipu does even all akramam, he did all kinds of evil deeds. And when devas come and cry to the Lord, then even the Lord tells him he can do nothing about it. Hiranyakashipu, he has to enjoy the fruits of his karma. So he is enjoying now. He has done lot of tapas and punyam. until that is exhausted, whatever he does, I cannot do anything. Even the Lord has to say, like, he is helpless. Similarly, when the noble people suffer, we are seeing the noble karmas now, but what type of people they were earlier, we don't know. And because of that, they suffer now. So remember, even noble people also can very well suffer in life. In fact, throughout their life, they may suffer also in this life. It is not because of their nobility now, but because of the papa they have done earlier, for which they are reaping the results now. So Lord gives, he is the dispenser of karmapala, karmapala data. He dispenses it very perfectly. So if we suffer, we need not criticize anyone. We have to criticize only ourselves. That is the most important thing. So Lord, he says, data, the one who allots perfectly sukham and dukham. Then Vishvato Mukaha. Vishvato Mukaha means, I am the one whose face is in all directions. Vishvato Mukaha. I know who does what anywhere. That is why there is nothing like a secret action at all in life. One can do an action and cover up from the neighbor perhaps, cover up from all other people, all other members of the family. But we can never cover up from the Lord because he is Vishvato Mukaha. Vishvatas Chakshurata Vishvato Muko Vishvato Hasta Uta Vishvatas Path. That's what Veda says. Vishvataha Chakshuhu. Vishvataha Hastaha. Vishvataha Patha. He has got everywhere. Eyes everywhere. Hands everywhere. Everywhere the Lord looks at. Shloka 34.
Mrityu Sarvaharas Chaham Udbhavas Chaba Vishyatam Kirti Shrivakcha Narinam Smritirmedha Dhriti Kshamaham Kshamam.
Mrityuhu Aham. Krishna is very quietly hinting here something else. Arjuna, not only I am the noble things of the universe. Universe consists of pairs of opposites. So not only the good I am, so-called evil also I am. We use the word the so-called evil because the point of view of, from the point of view of totality, there is nothing like evil at all. If you consider total, only from a different angle, from our angle, we call it evil. From totality, we call only two different aspects, night and day. Why to call one as good, another as bad? No need at all. They are only different from each other. That's what it is. Similarly, birth and death, there are only two aspects of, they are complementary. Not that one is good or another is bad. Even diseases are only signs of decay. Chayate, pardate, viparinamate, apakshiyate, vinashyati. They are all just only modifications, shad vikaras. So decay has to precede death. Unless we die, how the next generation will survive? As a matter of fact, with the increase of longevity today, the aged population has increased because of all the scientific invention, this and that and all. And the burden of the youngsters also has increased. They have to not only take care of themselves, they have to take care of the old people also. So death is as noble as birth. Decay is as beautiful as growth. That is how we should look at them. So the Lord says, Sarvaharaha Aham Mrityuhu. I am the Lord of death, who is the remover of all. Sarvaharaha. So what you have gathered in the whole time very carefully, cent by cent we accumulate, we develop so much of, you know, savings and thinking that we are going to possess all of them. They are all taken away in just 1 second without even our knowledge. So the death takes all of them in 1 second. Nothing can one take with him. Everything is taken away. Sarvam harati. Sarva haraha, sarvam harati. So there is a funny shloka. It says, so Vaidya Raja Namastubhyam Yamaraja Sahodaraham Yamastu Harati Pranane Vaidyaham Pranahan Dhananicham. Vaidya Rajaham Tubhyam Namaha. I do namaskarams to you, prostrations to you. Why? You are Yamaraja Sahodaraha. You are the brother of whom? Yamadharma Raja. So this Vaidya Raja is the brother of Yamadharma Raja. Why? Yamastum Harati Pranan. Yama takes away only my prana. Whereas what this Vaidya Raja does? in the name of treatment, this doctor Vaidya Raja, he not only takes my prana, he also takes my dhananicha, my money also. So he takes away the life and my money. So operation can be successful, but the patient died. So that's what happens. Still he is going to bill you. So sarvaharaha, he takes everything. And udbhavascha bhavishyatam. Udbhavaha here refers to I am the source of bhavishyat. Bhavishyat means all the future prosperity. Whatever is the future prosperity, I am the source of all of them. Shankaracharya, he writes, bhavi kalyanana, bhavi. So I am the source of all future prosperity. And narinam, among the women, I am all these. He gives a list here. Narinam, kirtihi here refers to fame. Here we should understand, fame is personified as a woman. Kirtihi as women, narinam. So just as wealth is personified as Mahalakshmi, knowledge personified as Saraswati, power as Shakti, Parvati, Shrihi is Lakshmi Devi personified, prosperity, and Vak refers to speech, Saraswati, Vani Devi. Then Smriti is memory power. All are personified as women. So Kirti, Shri, Vak, Smriti, all are personified as women. And why not man? People might ask that question. Why all these should be signified as women? Because in Sanskrit, all these words are feminine gender. Even inanimate things in Sanskrit have gender. And the gender is regardless of the meaning. That is the most confusing thing in Sanskrit. As we said, on what basis the gender is determined? Many Sanskrit students will have this problem eternally, because there is no basis for that. If meaning does not determine the gender, how do you know which is masculine and which is feminine? The only way is what? Sanskrit dictionary alone and nothing else. So dictionary AVM, Sharana. We have to go to dictionary only. Why? Because it is like that. That is how the language is. Mitra means friend. It is a neutral gender. Napumsakalingam. That is Mitra. Whereas Shaki is a strilingam. Shaka, pullingam. So why Mitra is the neuter? Because Shaki is strilingam, Saka is pullingam. Then why should Mitra be neuter gender? Same thing, Vidya is strilingam, Jnanam is neuter gender. Both are knowledge only. Vidya is knowledge, Jnanam is also knowledge, whereas Jnanam is neuter. So the linga is not based on the meaning, it is for the word itself. So it is not for the meaning, it is for the word itself. And here the list of words given are all strilingam. They are all feminine. And then Medha refers to intelligence. Medha refers to Grahana Dharana Shakti. Also it is also strilingam. The ability to grasp and to retain. Grahanam is to grasp and Dharanam is to retain. That is that ability to do, that is called Medha Shakti. It is also strilingam only. And there is actually a suktam for this Shakti alone called Medha Suktam. It's a special prayer to request this Medha Shakti. And then Dhritihi. Dhritihi means willpower. Willpower, tenacity, perseverance. It's called Dhritihi. Literally, Dhru, that's the root, means to hold on. Dhriti is to hold on. Dhriti means the power of holding on to our pursuits. Whatever may be our pursuit, to be steadfast in the power to hold on to the pursuit. Even if one fails 100 times, 1,000 times, does not matter. Many people might even criticize it. But the power to hold and finally to make sure that I win. So that is Dhriti. About this, actually, there is going to be a separate discussion later. So Dhriti is the ability to hold on to something. And Kshama. Kshama means patience or forbearance. Patience. Actually, Swamiji translates as accommodation. Here, Shama, he translates accommodation, capacity to accommodate other people, even though they may not be as we expect them. So, without getting angry, without getting irritated with them, because I myself have got lot of weaknesses. I myself am not perfect. And if I am happily living with my weaknesses, why can't I put up with others' weaknesses also? This is called Shama. So, Kshantihi, Kshama, they are all like synonyms. Shloka 35.
Brihat Samatata Samnam Gayatri Chanda Samaham Masanam Margasir Shoham Rutunam Kusumakaraham.
among the Sama mantras, Sama Veda, Sama mantras, actually we should remember, originally the Rig Veda, Rig, Yajur, Sama and Atharva, they are all names of the mantras only. Rig, Yajur, Sama, they are all names of the mantras. Then the Veda is called by these names because these mantras are predominantly there in those Vedas. So we call it Sama Veda, but originally it is the name of the mantra only, Sama Mantra. And when all mantras are Sama Mantras, we call it Sama Veda. Among the Sama Mantras, I am Brihat Sama. It is the name of a Sama Mantra, Brihat. Brihat Sama is the name of a Sama Mantra. The very name itself, it's Brihat. Brihat means big. Big in size. I am the Brihat Sama Mantra occurring in the Sama Veda. Then Gayatri Chandasam Aham. Chandas. Chandas actually has got two meanings. One is the meter, the prosody, the meter in which a particular stanza is written, by which it's a rule of poetry that is construct, the way you construct a poem. So that is meter, and it also means the mantra, Gayatri Mantra. Among the Vedic meters, I am Gayatri meter, and I am the Vedic mantras, I am the Gayatri mantra. That's what the Lord says. So, Chandasam Aham Gayatri Asmi. Then the Gayatri meter is supposed to be of three padas. It's supposed to have three padas. Each line have eight syllables. For example, any mantra with three lines and eight syllables each is called a Gayatri mantra. All the Tatpurusha Gayatris, Tat Purushaya Vidmahe Mahadevaya Dhimahi Tanno Rudra Prachodayat. So all these mantras, Tatpurusha Gayatris, they all have three padas, each pada containing eight syllables. So 24 syllables, it is called a Gayatri meter. And the Gayatri mantra also is in Gayatri meter. Tat Savitruvare Enyam Bargo Devas Vareniyam Bargo Devasya Dhimahi Dhiyoyona Prachodayat. Actually, incidentally, it should be Tatsavitur Vareniyam, then only it will become eight syllables. But in normal practice, we say it as Tatsavitur Vareniyam. That is why it's called Nichrit Gayatri. Gayatri meter is 24 letters, but because one syllable is less in Tatsavitur Vareniyam, instead of Vareniyam, it is called Nichrit Gayatri. So three lines of eight syllables each, in each line, 24 syllables total. And Buhu Bhuvaha Subaha, it is outside the Gayatri mantra. It is not part of the Gayatri mantra, but it is attached to it. And Om, Om refers to Pranava. And Buhu, Bhuvaha, Subaha refers to the Vyakriti. These two are uttered before reciting the Gayatri mantra. And it is supposed to add to the potency of the Gayatri mantra. And the original name of Gayatri mantra is supposed to be Savitri mantra, not Gayatri itself. It is Savitri. Gayatri is only a secondary name because it is in Gayatri meter. But the primary name is Savitri because the Devata invoked is Savitri Devata, Savita, Suryaha. So in Gayatri Mantra, the Surya Devata is invoked and the effulgence of the Surya Devata is compared to Chaitanyam. That is what is done in Gayatri Mantra, and we invoke that Chaitanyam every day. So Savituhu Varenyam Bargaha, for giving us wisdom. For giving us wisdom, for activating our Chaitanyam, our intelligence. And this Savitri mantra is supposed to be essence of all the three Vedas. The first pada being the essence of the Rig Veda, the second pada being the essence of the Yajur Veda, and the third pada being the essence of the Sama Veda. So the glory of Gayatri is discussed all over in the Shastras. In Chandogya Upanishad also it is mentioned very much. And who took the essence of this Gayatri mantra? Brahmaji himself, he churned entire Vedas. He did tapas and took the essence of each Veda. Of course, the essence is taken by Brahmaji, but it is revealed to us by whom? By sage Vishwamitra only. And since it contains the essence of all the Vedas, chanting Gayatri is supposed to be as good as chanting the whole Veda. And that is why it is said, Dvijaha. Any Dvijaha, any person who is twice born, Dvijaha, who has got the Upanayana Samskara, is supposed to study the Veda. The purpose is to study what? The Veda. So if not the Veda, at least minimum he is supposed to recite the Gayatri Mantra. Even if he doesn't study Veda, doesn't matter, but at least he should recite the Gayatri Mantra. That is why they emphasize Sandhyavandana Karma so much.
And Sandhyandana Karma is there for all the three Varnas, Brahmanas, Kshatriyas and Vaishyas. All of them are called, they all have the Supanayana Samskara. Otherwise, he does not deserve to wear the sacred thread at all. If this person is not following the Upasana of Gayatri. That is why when he goes to Gurukulam, the Vedic chanting is initiated by Gayatri Upadesha only first. And Gayatri Upadesha is what? Is Veda Upadesha, Brahma Upadesha. So that is the Vedic, in the Vedic circles, they say the boy is getting Brahma Upadesha. That is what they normally say. So Brahma here refers to Veda, not Brahmaji, Chaturmukha Brahma. It is Brahma is Veda. So Veda Upadesha through Gayatri Mantra. That is what is being done during the Supanayana Samskara. And before chanting Gayatri, the very prayer to Gayatri reveals the same thing. Ayatu Varada Devi Aksharam Brahma Sammitam. This Gayatri Chandasa Mata Idam Brahma Jishaswame. All these mantras. Ayatu Varada Devi Gayatri, who is Brahma Sammita, equivalent to Brahma, the Veda, the same measure of glory as the Veda is given to Gayatri. And so it's called Chandasa Mata, the mother of all meters, and the Dvija invokes the Gayatri Devi, then installs the Gayatri in his heart. Gayatri Mava Hayami, Savitri Mava Hayami. He invokes them and installs them in their heart. Then he chants the Gayatri Mantra. The Gayatri Upasana is done. It is said, if a person regularly chants Gayatri, even if he does not do any other ritual, Parayana, does not matter, Gayatri will compensate for all of them. But if Gayatri is not chanted, let him do any number of big rituals, Ashwamedha Yajna, that Yajna, this Yajna, does not matter. They are all of no use if Gayatri is not worshipped. Thus, Gayatri is supposed to be the basis for every Vaidika karma. It is given up only in the time of sannyasa. When somebody takes to sannyasa ashrama, that is the time it is given up. Actually, it is really not given up there. It is absorbed in Omkara at that time, in the pranava. The first pada of Gayatri Mantra, that is absorbed in the akara. The omkara is made up of akara, ukara and makara. So the first pada of Gayatri Mantra is absorbed in akara, the second pada in the ukara and the third pada in makara. So all these three padas are absorbed in pranava, the omkara. Sannyasi chants Gayatri through omkara. He doesn't chant the full Gayatri. Till then, Gayatri is supposed to protect the sadhaka, whomsoever is protected. So, from all types of abhicharika, even all invisible forces, it will protect him from all those forces. Gayantam trayate iti Gayatri, the one who recites this mantra, it will protect him. Okay, if Gayatri is not known, what should be done? That would be the next question. I don't know Gayatri mantra. Will I not be protected? Any mantra or any nama of the Lord, prayer of the Lord, is only for such immunity from any evil forces. So, they all have the same power if recited with faith. So, regular prayer, even in our culture, lighting the lamp, when you light the lamp, you recite certain shlokas, all those things with faith in the morning, evening, and the morning and evening, that time where the junction, the morning and the evening, the Sandhya Vela, they call it. That is the time they expect the evil forces to be active at those times. So they prescribed those times for prayers so that during those times, even though these evil forces may be active, they will not affect us. So these are all wonderful traditions to remember. So even though they are all there, not many people follow, but if they understand the significance, perhaps they may be motivated to follow. Then Masanam Margasir Shoham. Among the months, I am Margasirshaha, this month, because it is supposed to be good for all spiritual activity. This Margasirsha month, Margadi, it is supposed to be good for all spiritual activity because it is not good for material and worldly activity at that time. So whatever is bad time according to Panjangam are all good for spirituality, to be honest. Rahu Kalam is bad for worldly pursuit, but good for spiritual pursuit. Going to temple, then meeting a Swami, reading the scriptures, they are all good. Could be done at that time. Similarly, Pradosha Vela, supposed to be bad for doing any other karma for oneself, but is very good for Rudra Parayanam, temple puja, etc. Similarly, Grahanam, when there is a lunar eclipse, solar eclipse, good for Japa, puja, upavasa, dana, all those things are good during that time, even though one doesn't do any other karma. So Margasirsha is a bad month perhaps for material pursuit from that angle, but it is a good month for spiritual pursuit. Somebody, it's actually another interesting reason also they gave. For Devas, our year is a 24-hour period. Our Uttarayanam is a day and Dakshinayanam is night. So Uttarayanam begins in the Pushya Masa, January 14th, around that time. And Margasirsha happens to be the fag end of Dakshinayanam just before beginning of Uttarayanam. So for Devas, it is the Brahma Muhurta for them, just before the day begins, just before that time. So just as far as 4:30 a.m. to 6 a.m. is Brahma Muhurta, for the Devas, the month Margasirsha refers to Brahma Muhurta. So they are supposed to be active at that time, and so doing anything will bless us very much because the Devas will be pleased. And so Margasirsha is supposed to be good. Then Rutunam Kusumakaraha, among the seasons, Shad Rutus, spring, summer, autumn, winter, all those Rutus, I am the spring season. Kusumakaraha means Kusumanam Akaraha Yatra. So in which season there are flowers, all these flowers, they bloom. We call it Vasanta Ritu in Sanskrit. So among the seasons, I am the Vasanta Ritu. Shloka 36. Dyutam chalayatam asmim tejas tejasvi namaham jayosmi vivasayosmim sattvam sattvavatamaham. Chalayatam means among those with the decisive people, carrying away the mind, you know, among those people, which they these are all people who are all deceived. They cannot make their decision. These are all indecisive people. They get deceived that easily because their mind is always, you know, vacillating. Among them, I am Dyutam. I am gambling among them. I am gambling among the deceivers. Among the many deceivers, there are so many things that can deceive in life. Among them, I am Dyutam, the gambling. Because the moment the person enters into the field of gambling, what happens? He loses all sense of dharma. Everything is gone. Everything is forgotten for this person who engages in gambling. Dyutam means any type of gambling. So it can be card game, horse race, any game that involves gambling, including lottery. It's also a type of mass gambling. When actually lottery was introduced in Tamil Nadu long, long ago, Rajagopalachari was there. He condemned it, saying this is mass gambling. Please don't bring it to the government. And any type of gambling is not accepted by Shastras. In fact, to teach this lesson, the entire Mahabharata, it is shown that the very Dharmaputra himself, when he got into gambling, he also lost all senses. Dharma himself became helpless in process of gambling. Dharma is supposed to be righteousness. The embodiment of dharma, righteousness, he himself became helpless. And ultimately, he did stake his own wife. So that is what he did. When Dharmaputra, the embodiment of dharma, himself can get lost so much, what to take of anyone else? And so gambling is considered very, very bad. So Krishna says, I am gambling. So we have to understand earlier, it is not just only the good, alone is the Lord, or whatever we consider evil, because they are all good and bad only from our drishti, from our angle. But he is karma paladhata. For a person who engages in gambling and losing everything, is because of what? Is because of his own prarabdha. And Lord has to dispense the result of his own karmas. And that's what the Lord is doing. And for such people who did such a great, whatever papa, whatever it is, then the highest punishment is also given to them. So Dyutam, the gambling. And Chalanam means trickling mind. The mind which is wavering, the mind which is not stable. He may win for the first time. Second time he may think will be better. So he gets addicted to that. Millionaires become beggars by just betting on horses. We have seen all those things so many places. And Tejas, Tejasvi Namaham. Among Tejasvis, among the brilliant people, I am brilliance. among the brilliant people, I am the very brilliance. Then Jayosmi Vyavasayosmi, I am victory. Jayaha, I am victory among the winners. Vyavasayaha means effort, industry. I am the effort among those who endeavor. All those people who make lot of efforts, the very effort is myself. That's what the Lord says. And Sattvam Sattvavatamaham, I am the virtue. Sattvam, Sattvaguna, I am the virtue in all virtuous people. Sattvavatamaham, Sattvaguna. Sattvam refers to Sattvaguna, virtue. Shloka 37. Vrishninam Vasudevosmi, Pandavanam Dananjayaha, Muninam Apyaham Vyasaha, Kavinam Vushana Kavihi. Vrishninam, Vrishninam means among the people belonging to the Vrishni Vamsha. Vrishni Vamsha or Yadu Vamsha. Krishna's Vamsha is Yadu Vamsha. I am Vasudevaha. Vasudevaha means Vasudeva Putraha, Krishna himself. So Krishna is declaring himself, I am Vrishninam, Aham Vasudevaha. Vasudeva means the son of Vasudeva, Krishna himself, belonging to the Vrishni race. That is why he is called Varshneyaha. Another name of Krishna is Varshneyaha, belonging to the Vrishni race. Who is telling? Krishna himself is telling here. And Arjuna may feel bad, you know. So immediately Krishna says, Pandavanam Dhananjayaha. He called himself as the best among Vrishnis, and among Pandavas, he calls Dhananjaya, Arjuna, as the best. Don't get angry with me. Among the Pandavas, I am Arjuna. So I am Krishna, the teacher of Gita, and I am also Arjuna, the listener of Gita. I am everything. That's what the Lord says. Because you alone have the good fortune of listening to Bhagavad Gita. None else deserved this Gita wisdom at all in this entire universe right now. Nobody else is listening to this Gita Upadesham except yourself. Many people may ask, why did Krishna use Arjuna to teach? Krishna never chose Arjuna to teach. Arjuna chose Krishna to teach. That's what we should understand. Krishna says, Pandavanam Dhananjayaha. Then Vyasa feels, because Vyasa is the one who is capturing all this, we should understand. Because Bhagavad Gita may be taught by Krishna to Arjuna, but revealed to us by whom? By Veda Vyasa in Mahabharata. So, because how can I live myself? Because he is writing this, right? So, he is the author. So, he says, Muni Naam Aham Vyasaha. Among the Rishis, I am Vyasacharya himself. So, we should remember that these are all not mere boasting. They are all facts. Because there is no Rishi superior to Veda Vyasa. Supposed to be Acharvatarudano Brahma, Dvibahuhum, Aparoharihim, and Apala Lochana Sambuhum, Shambuhum, Badarayanaha. Badarayanaha is Veda Vyasa. He is a person who is the Chaturmukha Brahma. He has got four Mukham, but he is Brahma himself without four Mukham. And he has got only two shoulders, whereas Mahavishnu may have four shoulders, but he has only two. Dvibahuhu, Aparoharihi. And Apala Rochanaha Shambhu, he is Shambhu himself, but he doesn't have only the third eye. Bhagavan Badarayanaha. So he is Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva, the Trinity themselves. That is Vedavyasa. And so when you own up a fact, it is not arrogant, it is wisdom. So that's what he says. So when Vyasa says, I am superior, it is true. And really it is so. Firstly, Vyasa is an avatar of Lord Vishnu himself. He alone is responsible into dividing the Vedas into the four Vedas that we are seeing now, and gave it to the four disciples for the sake of spreading the Vedas. So called Veda Vyasaha. Vyasaha means divider. The one who divided the Vedas into four, as we know. Yes, Vyas means to divide. So Vedan V Vyasa. The one who divided one Veda into four, because there was only all jumbled up one Vedas, and that alone was divided into four and given to four Rishis to propagate. Later, Vyasa himself propagated the Vedic Dharma through Puranas, Itihasas. Because whatever is given in the Vedas are so cryptic, they are all so subtle, common people cannot understand. So, Veda Vyasa himself gave the Smriti Granthas, and there's Puranas and all. So, he wrote 18 Mahapuranas, he did Brahma Sutras, he did so many things. Mahabharata, all those Itihasas, he himself wrote whatever was contained in the Vedas, he gave them in the form of stories and Itihasas, and that is the greatness of Veda Vyasa. So, most of the rituals and customs would not be there at all without Veda Vyasa bringing all of them. Remember, all the avatars come through the Puranas only. All the avatars that we say, they are all not in Vedas. They are all in the Puranas only. There is no Janmashtami or Ramanavami or Deepavali in Vedas. They are all Puranic in origin only. So, the Hinduism and the entire culture is because of Veda Vyasa. Of course, Ramayana is by Valmiki. Of course, that's another epic by Valmiki. Whereas, most of all the other Puranas and the Mahabharata is by Veda Vyasa. And not only he has contributed to our culture, he has contributed to our philosophy also very, very significantly. In fact, the very basic grantha of Advaita philosophy is Vyasa's Brahma Sutra. Brahma Sutra is such a very cryptic and so concise. The entire thing, whatever is given in the Upanishads, is all captured into Brahma Sutras. It's a very great text. So, the Vedas contained Advaitam in it. That's how he made it that way. Veda Vyasa alone took out the Advaita Shastram from the Vedas, from the Upanishads, and presented in a very systematic manner in the Brahma Sutras. That's what he did. So, Shankara has only commented upon the Brahma Sutras of Veda Vyasa and brought out the Advaita meaning contained in it. That's what he did. But remember, Shankara's writing is based on what? Veda Vyasa's Brahma Sutras only. Brahma Sutras only. And so, Veda Vyasa's contribution is the greatest for Hinduism. And so, Krishna says, Muninam Aham Vyasaha. And Kavi Nam Ushana Kavihi, among the Kavis, among the poets, among the seers, I am Shukracharya. Ushana Kavihi, Ushana refers to Shukracharya. I am Shukracharya. Shloka 38. Dando Damayatam Asmi, Nitirasmi Jikishatam, Maunam Chaivasmi Guhyanam, Jnanam Jnana Vatamaham. So Dandaha, Dandaha means the punishing rod. The stick, you know, the policeman has this stick on hand, this danda. So, if you try any other method of disciplining the people, it may not work. For some people, only danda alone will work. Discipline is brought out mostly by punishment. Only a very few people have got the sensitivity to follow the discipline by wisdom by themselves. For example, if you drive on the road, most people will not follow the speed limit if the policeman is not around. If you see the policeman, immediately they all brake so that they would follow the speed limit because the policeman otherwise will give a ticket. So the Lord says, I am the punishing rod. I have kept the dharma and adharma rule in this world. I am the person who maintains dharma adharma in the world. But very people rarely follow. And if they don't follow, I have to give them tickets. I have to punish them. And when I give punishment like disease, death, poverty, then people, they change. That's what many people do. So, every suffering that we undergo is the punishment of the Lord for our own adharmic life. We don't have to blame anybody else for that. The Niti Rasmi Jikishatam, among the victorious people, Jikishatam, I am diplomacy, Nitihi. Nitihi means Nyaya. So, he is telling this from the political view, political point of view. A country cannot be victorious unless it has got a sound diplomacy. Most important, because it involves relationship with other countries. Then, Guhyanam Aham Maunam. Among the secret things, secretive things, Guhyanam, I am Maunam. I am silence. Because if you want to reveal the silence, as even you utter the word silence, you have broken it. You cannot say, I am following Maunavratam. If you say, the moment you utter that word Maunavratam, then you have broken the silence. If somebody asks you, are you observing Maunam? You just nod your head or keep quiet. If you say, yes, I am observing Maunam, you broke it. So, the greatest secret is silence. It can never be revealed by anyone. So, it is called silence is the greatest secret. And Jnanavatam Aham Jnanam. In the knowledgeable people, among the knowledgeable people, I am the very knowledge itself. Jnanavatam Aham Jnanam. Shloka 39. Yachapi sarva bhutanam bijam tadamaharjunam natatastivinayasyat mayabhutam characharam. Krishna now concludes the narration of his vibhutis in this shloka. He knows that people will be tired because he goes on listing, I am this, I am that. Some people might even think, why Krishna is boasting so much about himself, right? So, if he goes on narrating, so he sums up with a general statement here. I am the very seed of everything. Sarva bhutanam yat bijam. Bijam is seed. It's the upadana karanam.
the material cause of everything that I alone am. And we know that the bijam alone gives existence to the product. If a tree has to come, there should be a seed. The upadana karanam alone gives the very satta to karyam. Karyam is the effect, karanam is the cause. So indirectly the Lord says, I alone give sat, the existence principle, to everything. So he started with chit, ahamatma gudakesha, if you remember that shloka. So he started with chit there, now he ends with sat. I am the very sat chit in the whole creation. I am the Sachidananda Atma, I am the Sat Chit in the whole creation. And since I am the Sat, with respect to me, nothing in creation can exist. Without me, nothing in creation can exist. Because I am the one who lends existence to everything else. So I am the Sat principle. Characharam bhutam yat maya vina syat na tat asti. There is no being animate or inanimate which can exist without me. That's what the Lord declares. That means I am the very Sat in an animate and also in inanimate objects. Here Bhutam, Bhutam refers to any being. And when Krishna gives and concludes the list of narration, one may think that this much alone is the glory of the Lord. Because they may think, oh, Krishna exhausted the list. So he now just says, I am the seed, and concludes. So Krishna warns Arjuna here. He says, oh Arjuna, do not think that this much alone is my glory. There is no limit to my glory at all. I have given only a few samples to you. So he says, Sloka 40, Nantos mimama divyanam vibhutinam parantapa yeshatu deshata proktaha vibhutir vistaromaya. Hey parantapa, hey Arjuna, mama divyanam vibhutinam antaha nasti. There is no end. Antaha nasti, no end. To my glories, for my vibhutis, it is inexhaustible. It has been already said in the beginning itself. If you remember, we said in the Saraswati shloka then, you know, even if Saraswati writes the whole glories, in the 19th shloka, we referred to this particular thing. This idea has already come. Nastyanto vistarasya me, mama vistarasya antaha nasti. Krishna said in the 19th shloka, he repeats the same thing here for conclusion, there is no end to my glories. Then why did you give this much? You don't have to give all these at all. You could have just said it in one word. Yeshu tu vistaraha. This narration that I had given is uddeshataha proktaha. Only briefly mentioned for your sake. Uddeshataha, briefly. Yesha vistaraha, this narration. This narration of my vibhutis that I gave you is only brief. The rest of the list, Arjuna, you can fill up yourself. Now I have only seeded the thought in your head. Now you can use your own common sense and fill the rest of the list. Then Arjuna will wonder, how can I fill up this list? How do I know? Arjuna might think. So Krishna says, I will give you a method, and according to this method, you can go on adding to your list. And what is that method? Krishna is saying in the next shloka, shloka 41. Yadyad vibhuti mat sattvam srimadurjita mevacham tatta devavagachatvam mamatejomsha sambhavam. Krishna gives the guidelines here, actually, how to fill up this list. Because Arjuna might ask this question, how to fill up this list. Yadyad sattvam. Whatever thing or being that you see, vibhudimath, with any glory, anything that you see in creation with any glory at all, or shrimath, any richness in them, or urjitam, which is powerful. So whatever you see with any glory, with any richness, or any power with them, anything or being which is glorious, rich or powerful, all of them are my glories only. Rich need not be in wealth alone. Ocean is rich in water. Forest is rich in trees. A particular tree is rich in flowers or fruits. So richness is not only money. It can be anything. So we use the usage, someone is rich in voice only as a method of usage. So rich means fullness in any particular field. Somebody is rich in words all the time. So rich in nutrition,
rich in iron, all these things we say. Similarly, powerful animal, powerful wind, all of them are nothing but what? Mama teja amsha sambhavam, an infinitesimal part of my total glory. Teja amsha sambhavam. Now, one can imagine what will be the total glory of the Lord. If all the glory that we see and comprehend, if they are only a small, minuscule part of the glory of the Lord, what could be the total glory of the Lord? One can try to imagine. So in our culture, any prodigy means we attribute it to divinity only. And if a person lives a wonderful life throughout, immediately we convert him to an avatar of the Lord only. Right? Shankaracharya as an avatar of Parameshwara, Vyasacharya as an avatar. So they are all glorious, and so Ishwara Amsam is more manifest in them. Yeah, they are glorious. Human Amsam is suppressed. We take them as an avatar. All those Purushas like Shankaracharya, Vedavyasa, we take them as avataras because the Ishwara Amsa is more predominant in them. For every student, their guru is an avatar only. Ramanuja, Madhvacharya, Shankaracharya, Ramakrishna, they are all avataras only. Any great person we consider as an avatar. So all of them can become a symbol for upasana. If one wants to meditate, if one cannot think about a Krishna or Rama or a Parameshwara, one can think of their guru. So guru upasana is okay, is fine. And Mahan upasana is okay. Any Mahan, one can do upasana of him also. And so Krishna now concludes, sloka 42. Atava bahunaitenam kim jatena tavarjut kim jatena tavarjunam vishtabhyahamidam krishnam ekamshena stito jagat. So Krishna now tells the whole thing. So far he said that my glory is in the world. Now he says, in fact, the whole world is in me alone. He said the glory is in the world, but he says now the whole world is me alone, in me alone. I am the substratum of every glory. I am not in the world, but the world is in me. So he says, Athava, to put it in another language, put in other words, Yetena bahuda jnanena kim. What is the use of describing each and every glory? Knowing each and every glory, it is an endless business. One cannot know each and every glory at all. It is endless. Then what is the main idea? Aham idam kritsnam jagate vishtabhyat tishtami. I alone am supporting the whole universe. And that too how? It is not that the whole universe is kept on my head and I am now feeling the burden of the world. No, it is not sitting on my head that, oh, it is so heavy for me. No. Ekamshena. Remember the Govardhana, Udharanam of the entire Govardhana mountain are all indication of this alone. With just his small finger, he lifted this entire Govardhana mountain. So that is only a small aspect of my glory. Ekamshena. With the tip of my finger, I supported the whole universe. So, Padosya Vishwabhutani Tripadasya Amritam Divi. That's what Veda says. The whole cosmic makeup, including all the galaxies, are all nothing but a speck in my infinite dimension. So, they are nothing but a speck in my dimension. So, instead of saying, I am in everything, I would like to say, everything is in me. That is the glory. So every glory is in me. Every power is in me. My ability to glorify the Lord is also the glory of the Lord only. I can never think it is, assume that it is my glory. That is also the glory of the Lord. And so anything can become a symbol. So far he was enumerating, Himalayas can be a symbol, Ganges can be a symbol, anything can be a symbol only to represent his glory. But the entire universe, cosmic makeup is within him. So anything can be a symbol only. So what is important is what? You should remember Lord keeping that symbol in mind for upasana purpose. And therefore, I am the substratum of all glories of the world. Everything is my glory only. With this, Krishna concludes the narration of his vibhutis. Om Tat Sat Iti, Srimad Bhagavad Gita Sum, Upanishad Sum, Brahma Vidyayam, Yoga Shastre, Sri Krishna Arjuna Samvade, Vibhuti Yoga Namam, Dashamodhyayaha. So thus is concluded the 10th chapter, and the title of this chapter is Vibhuti Yoga,
Yoga means this topic, and Vibhuti refers to the glory of the Lord, a topic which deals with the glories of the Lord. For what purpose? For the purpose of Vishwarupa Upasana, which is going to be in the next chapter. Maybe there is a small summary I want to give for the 10th chapter. Maybe because already time is up, I will do it in the next webinar for the summary of the 10th chapter. Yo Veda Dausvara Prokto Vedante Cha Pratishtitaha Tasya Prakriti Leenasya Yaparasa Maheshwaraha Sri Krishna Namaste. All right. Okay. Questions? Any hand raised? Anybody questioning? It is likely that Saint Thiruvalluvar could have drawn his inspiration from verse 10:33 when he wrote Akara. Yeah, that is absolutely correct. That's very possible. Akara Mudala Yudhulam, that's true. In verse 10:33, why does the word Kalaha gets modified as Kala? Kalo is, when you split it, you have to say it as Kalaha. But when you say it together, it becomes Kal. That's all. It is only the rule of Sun. Verse 10:35 reminds me of the old movie song by Kannadasan. Kalangalila Varasan. Yeah, they are all only derivative of all these only. All these poets, they all have got all this knowledge from all the scriptures only. 10:37, why is Arjuna referred to? Dhananjayaha. Dhananjayaha means, you know, he went on going through so many countries, fighting with so many kings and all that thing, and gained lot of wealth. He fought so many battles and he took so many, kings and kingdoms, and he gained a lot of wealth. So he is the one who won over lot of battles and gained lot of wealth. So he's called Dhananjayaha. Hare Krishna, Ushana Kavi. Yeah. Anything else? I think that's about it. And if there is anything else to any more question, let me quickly see. Any other question? Your explanation of Ushana Kavihi was not able to be heard. Yeah, Ushana Kavihi. Ushana Kavi means I am Shukracharya. Ushana refers to Shukracharya. So here he refers to among the seers. Kavi here is not poet as such, seers. Among the sages, I am Ushana Kavihi. I am Shukracharya. That's what he refers to. Okay. Excellent lecture, Mama. Namaskaram. Sudhakar. Thank you, Sudhakar. Thank you. I am able to catch in this class. Oh, thanks, Kranti. Okay. All right. If there are no more questions, I am going to sign off. And we will see next week. We will start with the 11th chapter next week after giving the summary of the 10th chapter. I am going to sign off now.